We are living, I do believe, in a Laodicean church age or church period. When I went down to Philadelphia, my daughter Mindy was in the back seat. She had written about 12 questions on the book of Revelation. I mean, they were deep questions. And I just kept answering them and answering them as I'm driving down to Philadelphia to meet with the rest of our family down there. And I mentioned that we are living in the Laodicean church era. Seven churches that are representative of different eras of the church dispensation that we're now living in, that began on the day of Pentecost, and that began the church dispensation for the gathering in the end time harvest, and will go on right up until the rapture into the 70th week. I told her that those churches will enter in, but the most prevalent churches right now are Laodicean type churches, and we're living in that era. But there is no scripture that says that you cannot be a Philadelphian type believer. And there's no scripture that says that we cannot be a Philadelphian type independent fundamental Baptist church. And the scripture that we're going to look at tonight is going to talk about that. And I think of a man of God that had the power of the Holy Spirit on his life, and he prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit. In the 1980s, he had a great move of God in Hammond, Indiana, great work of God, and it was definitely a work of the Spirit of God. And he said to his people then in the 1980s, he says, "Now is the time. This is the place. We are the people." Now, I don't believe that was just for the 1980s in Hammond, Indiana. That would apply to us here in 2024 in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Now is the time. This is the place. We are the people. And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2. And when you look at Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 6, what happened there: "Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together." Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. Now, I realize tonight that the book of Acts was a transitional book. It was a book where the kingdom was being offered to the Jewish nation again through the apostles of the risen Lord Jesus. And therefore, they had the signs of the apostles, 2 Corinthians 12:12. I don't believe that we are living in a day when we have the signs of the apostles, because the apostles are not here.
That's right.
But we do have something in the book of Acts that, though we don't repeat the signs of the apostles, we do have in the book of Acts something that should be repeated, some solid principles that should be repeated throughout the church dispensation to any individual or any church that wishes to have revival. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk to you about how revival comes to you as an individual, how revival comes to you, especially as a church, because revival really is more than one person getting it and getting a hold of it. And so I want to talk tonight about that. And Pentecost is its own advertisement. I think of Billy Sunday when he was here in 1914. He was here in March and April of 1914. And the Scranton Times wrote about what was going on in his meetings. The Scranton Times wrote about his sermons and literally printed them. And why? Because Pentecost is its own advertisement. People came together on the day of Pentecost to see what was going on with these believers in the First Baptist Church at Jerusalem. And I believe that this morning God is able to do that again. And He did it then, He can do it again. So I want to talk about how revival comes to you, and I want to say just about four things about that. Number one, look at Acts 2 and verses 1 and 2. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly," notice that, "and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." I want you to notice, first of all, that when revival comes, it comes suddenly. It comes suddenly. And what is revival? A revival is a movement of the Holy Spirit that is greater in degree and in measure. It produces the same thing that the work of the Holy Spirit also always produces, but when there's revival, it's in a greater measure. It's in a greater degree. And so when we are praying for revival, we're praying for God, the Holy Spirit, to get a hold of a subnormal church and do a supernormal work to bring us back to normal New Testament power and practice. Let me say that again. The definition of revival that I like to give is a supernormal work of the Holy Spirit to take a subnormal church and bring us back to normal New Testament power and practice in our life. It's getting back to your first love. It's getting back, Brother Bob, to doing the first works. Amen. And I believe a lot of us are not there, and we need to get there, and we need, I like to say, Scranton Revival needs a revival. Right. Scranton Revival Baptist Church needs a revival. And I want to say that tonight, and so I want to talk about it and say that revival, the revival that I just described, when it comes suddenly. It says that it came suddenly, a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, this is something in revival that happens over and over again. There is a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and in us and through us, the Holy Spirit lives in us, but there's a greater measure and filling. So it could be called an outpouring of the Spirit of God in revival. And though it comes suddenly, I want to say this, though it came suddenly, Acts 2:2, although it came suddenly, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So in other words, there is a prior preparation for revival. There is a harbinger, listen to me, that revival is getting ready to come. And what is that harbinger? They were all, Acts 2:1, they were all in one accord in one place. You know what? Not everybody's in one accord about the purpose and mission of the Christian, the purpose and mission of the church. I've said this before. I'll say it again tonight because we're talking about, do you agree in your heart with what I'm saying? There was an evangelist in a Calvary Baptist church. He preached in about 1978 in West Palm Beach, Florida. I was there. I was at those meetings. Brother Bob knows who I'm talking about, evangelist Bill Bowler. And Bill Bowler, he made a statement that I never forgot. He said, people say there are cliques in the church. He said, yeah, there should be cliques in the church. You know, people complain, I'm not going to join that church. There are cliques in that church. He said, yeah, there should be cliques in the church. He said, everybody should be clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. I like that statement then. I like it tonight. But I used to preach that, and there would be people that didn't like that. They didn't like that statement. And they said, I get trouble when you make that statement. I don't like that statement. Well, I'm still making that statement. Amen. I found it out. I don't get my instructions from the pew. I get my instructions from the heavenly head of the church. And so I'm saying it again tonight. Now that those individuals that say that and feel that way, obviously they're not in one accord. And by the way, you're welcome to be in church if you're not in one accord with that statement. But I want to say to you, if you're going to have revival, you've got to be in one accord with that statement. Now, have you ever heard a piano hit a chord, boom, and then you sing and you get on key? But if you're off key, you ever heard anybody sing off key? Who's heard people sing off key? You know, you know, when people sing off key, they're not in with the chord that's hit on the piano. Well, who hits the chord? Jesus hits the chord. And the problem is we get away from Jesus. We get out of the yoke of Jesus. I'm talking about God's people. We get away from being in one accord with the Lord. And by the way, you notice they were in one place. How can you have revival if you don't show up?
Right. Right.
First thing is to show up, right, Brother Joe? And how can you be in one accord if you don't show up? And even Roberts showed up every week to prayer meeting because he didn't want to miss it, Brother Bruce, when revival came. He wanted to be there when revival came. And he was there when revival came. By the way, I don't want to miss it, amen? I want to be there. And so I'm saying that revival, when it comes, listen to me, it comes very suddenly. It comes very suddenly. Some people it comes surprisingly, but it really shouldn't surprise you. Some people it just shocks them, surprises them. And it comes suddenly, but there is a preparation for revival that we should have. And I've had people that didn't like that statement, but thank God, God has touched the hearts of a band of men.
Yeah.
And I pray with that band of men every week. And that band of men, their hearts have been touched to click around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission and to pray for the power of God to do that. And last week in Revival Seekers Prayer Meeting, our youth pastor was praying. He made a statement. I won't forget it. He made a statement about clicking around the man of God. He didn't use those exact words, but the thought was there to fulfill the Great Commission and that God would bless that here. And you know what? That's a harbinger of revival. That shows we're in heart agreement about what we need and what revival is. And I believe that prayer that he prayed demonstrated a one accord and being in tune. And being in tune with the man of God, but the man of God being in tune with the head man, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That is so important. Now you say, Pastor, what hinders, listen to me, what hinders being in one accord? Well, I could preach a whole sermon on that one. But let's just boil it down. Many times it's selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. We want our way, not God's way. And let me tell you, that's not worth it. You may get your way, the Lord may give you your way, but you'll get filled with it. I remember when I wanted a girlfriend, my one main thing was get a girlfriend. I went to Bible college, and I got one, and God gave me my heart's desire, and then he sent leanness into my soul. I didn't have revival. I didn't have the joy of the Lord. And so watch out if you get what you want, but what you want is not in one accord with the Lord. You know, the Israelites, they were not in one accord with God. And they wanted what? Flesh. They didn't want the manna. They didn't want the manna anymore. They're sick of the manna. And God gave them quail. Remember that? A quail to eat. And it came in from the sea. And man, they were just eating that flesh. And right when it was in their teeth, God slew them. He slew the fattest of them, it said. And they were getting all the flesh that they, what they wanted. Would to God we got some prayer and fasting going on. Would to God we got some revival going on. And so that's what they had. Now the early church, they were in one accord because they had remembered what the Lord had told them in Acts 1:8. They were wanting the Lord to teach them all about prophecy and all the details of prophecy. We preach about prophecy here. But that was what they were into. And the Lord says, he says, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. You know, there's some things that I can't tell you what's going to happen exactly. I do know there's a greater Middle East war that's getting ready to brew. I can tell you that there are prophecies. I can tell you we're going to hit the nuclear sites in Iran. I can tell you about a lot of things over there based on scripture that I have. But I can't give you the exact order and how it's going to all happen because the Lord didn't make that clear. But yeah, I can tell you what's going to happen. I can tell you Israel's going to hurt itself and then it's going to win. It's going to expand its borders and all of that. That's all happened. But the Lord said, it's not for you to know all of that. He said, but, don't forget that but. He said, but. Ye shall receive, ye is you plural, by the way, in the King James. Ye, you plural, shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. I like what Alan Domely said. How can you experience the power of the Holy Spirit if you're not witnessing? He's not going to give you his power to do your own thing. He's going to give you his power to witness. That's what he says. And ye shall receive power. Why? Because your purpose is to be witnesses unto me. The man of God ought to be doing that, and everybody ought to be clicking around the man of God to fulfill that great commission to be witnesses. And people get saved and they get baptized according to the Great Commission, and then they go out and they train others to do the same thing. That is what it is all about, and that is what revival is all about. And these people, they received that power, and they realized that they needed the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I say that, and I said it this morning, but I'll say it again. Brother Bob is working hard to get the message out, not to vote for Harris and who to vote for. Amen. And he's handing out church tracts as he does it. And he's saying, you know, our pastor prayed at the rally for the real president. Amen. And you come to our church, and it's a good place to come. And he's handing out tracts to give the gospel. And he's using that to do that. But even if we get our way, and I'm hoping to God we get our way, without revival, America will not be great again. America will destroy itself. Even if we get everything politically, it's not going to work. Because the answer, my friend, is not in the White House. It is in God's house. It has always been in God's house. Always. And I'm just saying tonight that revival, when it comes, come suddenly, but it shouldn't come surprisingly, and it shouldn't come as something that is not prepared for. You need to prepare your heart to seek the Lord. Are you doing that tonight? Are you? The Bible talks about men of God in the Old Testament. They prepared their heart to seek God. And I trust you're here tonight, Lord's Table Sunday night, to prepare your heart to see Jesus and to seek Him. And that's what young Jack Hiles did. We saw the great First Baptist Church and the result of all that. But it didn't start there in Hammond, Indiana. It started when he was a young man in East Texas. I went there to Italy, Texas. I saw where they built a monument to him about being a soul winner, Daniel 12, and talking about turning many to righteousness, and I was there with him. I was at the grave of his father, where he first was filled with the Holy Spirit himself and had a personal revival. But he had prepared for it. He fasted. He prayed. He read books about men of God. By the way, I encourage you to read books about men of God that had revival. I just read a booklet about David Brainerd. And I want to read his autobiography again. And I want to read books about men of God. Why? Because they had revival. And I want to remind myself of that and stir up my mind by way of remembrance, because we have such a need for that. And by the way, in pre-revolutionary America, they had the first great awakening that started. And you hear about Jonathan Edwards and his message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and how people, he spoke in a monotone voice, but the Holy Spirit so came with power that they grabbed the pews and they were scratching the pews. Why? Because they were afraid of falling down into hell. It wasn't produced by human oratory. That was revival. That was real. He preached that message the first time, I think it was in Northampton, and no result at all. He preached it, I believe, the second time in a place called Enfield, Connecticut. And oh, that was when this happened that I'm talking about. And what happened? A couple of older ladies were disturbed by the young people, the teenagers in the church. And they said, man, they need revival. And they began to pray for the young people. And that's what led to that. I'm just saying, what we need is not some kind of beach evangelism where girls wear bikinis and guys wear Speedos and you go out and go on the beach and all that. You know what? I won't say it. What we need is a revival of the old-time religion. And it's going to come through the power of God and through prayer and fasting and people getting a hold of God and praying for it. And that's what happened. And when it happens, very suddenly, now listen, the Jerusalem church, they went from 120 members to 3,120 members in one day. And it went up from that. So though it may come suddenly, it should not come as a surprise to you. How does revival come? Number one, suddenly. Number two, it comes, listen, sovereignly. Sovereignly. Now there are some people think if you just do certain steps, boom, 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 you can guarantee you'll have a revival at a certain time. In fact, a lot of southern churches say we're going to have revival. How many have heard that? We're having revival. No, you're not having revival. You may have meetings where you're seeking revival, but you're not having revival. You don't determine when and how you have revival. God determines that. I believe that, and that keeps me going. Because the Bible does say, listen, do not despise the day of what? Small things. Some people despise, some people say big is much because God is in it. But the actual fact of the matter is, it can be big as much because God's in it, but not everything is big God is in, amen? But little is much if God is in it. And so it keeps me going, but God can give revival, and here's what it says in Acts 2:1. I'll read it. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that's when the sound of the Holy Spirit came as a rushing mighty wind. Notice that there was a set time on God's calendar for it to come. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't answer out loud, but is there a set time when Jesus Christ will come back and rapture the church? Yes, there is. Do you know that time? No. Do you know the day or the hour? No. No man does. Only the Father. And so we don't know the time. That's what sovereignty means. God does everything after the counsel of His will. He didn't consult me on the time for Jesus to come back. He's going to come back in His time. But I can tell you this, He'll come back. And I can also tell you this, that revivals will come and have come. But it's in God's sovereign time. And so the sovereignty of God is there. So a revival comes suddenly, but it also comes sovereignly. I heard a message from Jack Hiles on Psalm 102:13. In fact, when my daughter Mindy was in Bible college, she sent me that sermon. And I preached that sermon. Here's what it is. Psalm 102:13. God says, thou shalt arise and have mercy on Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. The set time is the name of that message. God has set times of revival. I don't know when they are, no more than I know when Christ comes back. But I know that God does revive His people. I know that God has given us revivals here in this church. Not to the greatest degree of revival, but we've had periods of harvest. And that's what Solomon Stoddard, Jonathan Edwards' grandfather, who was pastor of that church in Northampton, before Edwards became the pastor, he would talk about harvest times. Harvest times. You know, right now, we haven't had a baptism in 6 weeks. But I'm getting ready for a harvest time, amen? Does that stop me from sowing? No. Does that stop me from watering the sowing of the gospel with prayer? No. Does that stop me from having counselors come forward to get ready for people to come to the altar? No. And it just seems like every time we're hindered from having that baptism come through. And you know what that tells me? It's time for you to seek the Lord. It's time for me to seek the Lord. This will not do. This will not do. We may go through periods of drought and dry periods, but you when that happens, you start praying for rain, amen? You start praying for rain. And yet, at the same time, you do not stop working and being faithful with what God's called you to do, because you know God is going to come through. There are seasons when the seed grows And a harvest comes, and there are seasons when you plant, there are seasons when you water, and the sun shines in the summer, and then the end of the summer come the harvest period. And so it's in God's sovereignty. It's in God's sovereignty. I think of a guy like Tony Hudson. How many have heard Tony Hudson? That guy's got power when he preaches. What a blessing. I love to hear Tony Hudson preach. But you know Tony Hudson. He said, I was raised on drugs. You know that, right? He said, I was drugged to church Sunday morning. I was drugged to church Sunday evening. I was drugged to church on Wednesday. He was drugged along. But there came a time when in God's sovereignty, God saved Tony Hudson. God saved Tony Hudson. I don't believe in decisional regeneration. I believe in divine, sovereign regeneration. It's in God's time. It's in God's time. And that doesn't mean I don't call for a decision and pull in the net. But I at the same time, I recognize God is sovereign. And he saves. And he saved Tony Hudson. And we work hard. And God blesses those that work, and God gives revival to those that work, but those that also believe in his sovereignty. You don't use the sovereignty of God as an excuse to go to sleep and to sit there and say, God will send revival, the church will grow. No, you could be bringing people in before you see a great revival. You could see people say, it's the normal work of the Holy Spirit, just to a greater degree in revival. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's come sovereignly. It comes suddenly. That's what we're talking about. In our church, we've had three different harvests. One was 1986 to 96. One was 2000 to 2012. And one, I believe, started about 2023, the second half of it. And is still going on. I believe that. But we want it to continue. We want it to get deeper. Amen and amen. We don't want it to end. And so how revival comes to you, it comes suddenly. Suddenly the place was filled in Acts 2:2. It comes sovereignly. They were all in one accord in one place on the day of Pentecost, and God the Holy Spirit did it. Now, I want to say a third thing tonight about how revival comes to you, and it comes strongly. Acts 2:2 says, and there came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Now, I remember having dinner with Marion Owen. Marion's here tonight. Good to see you, Marion. We were having dinner a while back at a pizza, at a Italian restaurant. Not the one up here, but the one in Clark Summit. And Marion was talking about the flood, the big flood they had. How many remember that big flood in the Abingtons they had a while back, like a big flash flood? And there was an elderly couple, they got caught in that flood, and they were drowned, they were taken away. It was such a rushing water, it just took them away, the elderly couple. They didn't expect that to happen, it came suddenly. It came sovereignly, and it came strongly. And that was a negative thing, it killed them. But I'll tell you what, well, Holy Spirit, listen, when he comes with mighty power, he comes strongly, and that is a good thing. He gets a hold of people. He gets a hold of them. And have you ever heard of irresistible grace? That's what he does. He draws them irresistibly to Christ, and many people get drawn to Christ. And they could try to fight it, but they can't fight it because God is great. And revival is an outpouring, listen to me, of the Holy Spirit from God in and through you who are already saved. And I like what Pastor Ware used to say. He said, I want the Word of God to push me to the pulpit, not the pulpit to the Word. I want that strong push of the Holy Spirit. And I remember going to pastor school in 1986. I remember coming back here, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I felt the power of God working in my life, moving me to witness, and it was great. I was having like a personal revival, and I remember those messages. He would just lay the verses on my heart and say, this is what I want you to preach. And that was great. And that was a measure of revival for me. And that's what you should want and pray for in the preacher, that the preacher would have revival. Amen? Because as goes the coach, so goes the team. I'm a Michigan fan, and boy, Jim Harbaugh was the coach, and as went that coach, so went that team. A whole culture came there. So you need to pray for the man of God to have revival. We need men of God. Dr. Carter said, I apologize to you students. We saw men of God. They had the power and presence of God all over them. He said, we have to apologize that we are not showing you students what we ourselves saw. Well, we need to pray for that and to have that power, that strength of the Holy Spirit that moved and moved them, and it moved me to witness. And I thank God. God has stirred me up recently. Listen, God has stirred me up recently to go to the next level. How about you, though? You may not be where I am, but how about you? Are you going to that next level of witnessing? Because that's what the power of the Holy Spirit's for, to give the gospel, to get people saved. And by the way, it's strong enough to change people's lives. It changes people's lives. D.L. Moody was going with a guy in Chicago, and D.L. Moody was a great evangelist, and he saw a drunk in the gutter there, and the guy that was with Moody said, hey, that drunk there, isn't he one of your converts, Mr. Moody, from one of your meetings? And Moody said, he must be one of my converts because he's not one of God's. We need the strength of the Holy Spirit. Are you getting lives changed? I remember when God was moving in my life, I said, Lord, I just don't want professions of faith. I want people that get saved. And that's my last point. I'm already preaching it before I got to it. Not only strongly, not only sovereignly, suddenly, but savingly, savingly. And I think of Hannah. I've shared with her. Hannah couldn't have a baby. Hannah prayed and she cried out for a baby. And she wanted to break out of her barrenness. And her husband didn't understand it. He thought he was enough for her. But she had to have a baby. And you know what? Jesus shouldn't be enough for you. Because if you have Jesus, you should want to get pregnant. You should want to have spiritual children. Amen? You should want to have children. And I'm talking about people that are saved by the grace of God and their lives that are changed. And you see them get saved and they come to church and they get baptized and they want to get in the apostles' doctrine and they want to get into the Word of God. I remember different times in my life I told God, I want to see people saved, Lord. Not just give the gospel. I want to see them saved. And God started giving me converts, especially during certain harvest times. Revival times. And so tonight we're talking about how revival comes to you. It comes suddenly, but it should have preparation. You should be seeking it. You shouldn't be surprised by it. It comes sovereignly. Yeah, God does it, but that doesn't mean you're not doing your all and preparing for revival. And it comes strongly. That means that God has great strength and great power, and you can feel that power. And the Bible says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Listen, great power is the power to witness. Great grace is living the Christian life. And that's what he does. He gives you power to witness, and then he gives people grace to get saved and live this new life. And so it comes strongly, and it comes savingly, as Hannah had Samuel, and then she had five other kids, and God helped her break out of barrenness. Could it be time for us to break out of barrenness? When's the last time you had somebody saved, and they would come to church with you? They'd come down the aisle with you. They'd get baptized. They'd be under the Word of God and hungry for the Word of God. That's what salvation does, friend. And that's what we see a lot of in revival. But when's the last time? May God help you to seek the Lord for revival and know how it comes. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. We've been talking about how revival comes. But I wonder.